got to the point where I was just like, I need to go by myself. Like, I can't sit around and bet the same way that my friends do. My paycheck would hit my bank account. I would go to the ATM and I'd be at the casino for hours. And when I ran out, it would be the next day and I would withdraw. And it didn't feel like a real loss until I hit that ending point of like, well, now you can't increase the credit or anything. You know, you got to pay up. It really did not feel real at all.
That is the most predatory thing I've ever heard of as it relates to gambling. I've never seen that. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the One Day at a Time podcast. Today's guest is Josh G. He's been in recovery since September of 2022. And we're going to be talking about a lot of topics today, but one that he just asked me to talk about is hope. So if you're watching this video alone, this one is particularly for you. Josh, welcome to the chat.
Rob, it's so great to be back. I was so happy when you had reached out, and I'm, you know, always enjoying your content, you know, for a little pick-me-up or, you know, watching some of the long-form stuff. So I'm glad to be back and, you know, dive back into some of the topics we discussed before.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. And the last time that you were on, we were doing a Q&A session. So this time I really want to dive into your story, how we ended up here today, and then kind of where we're going in the future. So for those that didn't see you the last time, what's a little bit about yourself? When was the first time that you gambled?
You know, if like a parent or a coach or a mentor asks you, you know, you, of course, you say like, oh, the legal gambling age. But, you know, that certainly was not the case. When I think even in like high school, there were, you know, a few people that had like heard of, you know, bookies. There were like March Madness brackets, nothing crazy, you know. And I'd been doing fantasy football since I was a kid with my dad, to the point where like we knew the injury reports, the weather, everything for every game. And I wasn't even a primarily sports bettor, but it kind of started with that. That's really where like my juices got going, was fantasy football, you know, March Madness brackets. And then as I, you know, got older and went off to college, that's when it really, you know, trips to the casino, bookies. I'm meeting people that use the apps a lot. And for me, it's such a foreign concept. You know, I was always just using the offshore accounts and stuff like that. You know, right around college, I think, is where it took off more for me.
Was there any particular reason why that's when things took off? Like, where'd you go to school? Was it away from home?
Yeah, so I went to Temple, and you know, it's an hour away. You know, it's not anything like drastic, but I think it was like the first time where I truly had like that time away from home. You know, I had some friends that would do like sleepaway summer camp and would be gone for the summer. I never, you know, and I love my family, so it's not like it was a bad thing or anything. But, you know, going off to college, it was just like, it was like, oh, this is freeing. Like, even just like buying a snack when I want to without like getting a, you know, a face or a side eye for spending a couple bucks. Like, that's nice. I think that was the big thing, to get back to your question, was like this idea of not having the supervision and the like, hey, you probably shouldn't, you know, spend money on this or on that. I think that's really where it took off. And because of that,
I think a lot of people listening have probably heard of like the freshman 15, and I gained like a freshman 25 when I went to school. And it's basically when you stop eating at home and you're on your own getting food, you maybe start to eat more unhealthy, you start to go to the school cafeteria. Well, that happened to me, but the same thing happened with my spending and my gambling. So when I went to school, like, I was consistently betting larger amounts now because there's no one looking over my shoulder, seeing what I was doing on my phone. When you were at school now, were you taking trips to the casino at this point, like as a freshman in college?
You know, freshman year, there were like a couple of times, you know, for different like parties going on, like afterwards would go for sure. And then like sophomore year, it got a little bit more regular. And then like junior and senior year, it was like, you know, I would be going with, you know, groups of friends. And then, you know, it got to the point where I was just like, I need to go by myself. Like, I can't just, you know, sit around and bet the same way that my friends do. And again, I'm not sure exactly what that tipping point was, but there's still, you know, nights that I look back to or get reminded of where I'm like, you should have seen it way before you saw it.
Put us in your shoes for one of those nights. Like,
Sure.
You're now a 21-year-old, we'll call it, because you're a junior in college. You're going out with your friends. Like, walk us through the night from, like, I don't know, when the classes ended until you went to sleep.
Yeah, so it definitely was different for me as I started to get to 21, 22. I remember last time we spoke about, you know, it wasn't a formal intervention, but, you know, I have a close group of friends who FaceTimed me and we talked for a long time. And, you know, they were really the driving force to kind of get me going into recovery. And I'm, you know, always grateful for them. And one of them also was the same one to tell me, like, you need to stop drinking. Like, I'm epileptic as it is, and I take medication for it. And, you know, I was drinking like, you know, the normal college person. But around 21, 22, I really slowed it down, and now I don't drink at all. So those nights, when you ask about that, those nights at 21, a lot of those nights I was sober. Everyone else would be drunk, you know, showing up to the casino. And, yeah, there were many times where I'm sober, but I am angry, I'm anxious. Even when I'm winning, I'm just, like, anxious for, like, let's get the next hand going. Never satisfied.
At this point, was it, like, socialization, or was it a coping? Mm. What was it that it was giving you?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob. I think it's one of those things, looking back, where it was definitely a socialization thing for sure. I mean, like, there's some people, and I'm sure it's, you know, I talk to, you know, so many people in my life now in recovery that have the same thing, where they strictly had people in their life that served no other purpose other than gambling stuff. Like, they'd be like, oh, like, Josh, are you, you know, you doing the, you know, the NFL survivor pool, or, yo, Josh, you hitting the casino Saturday night? So I really do think it was this, like, this idea of, like, I was comfortable there. I wasn't as comfortable at a bar. Now I'm much more comfortable, and it's, you know, a piece of cake to go out sober for me. The idea back then, I think it was something where I felt more comfortable.
So now you're 22, you're going to the end of college. Yeah. Does the gambling continue after college? What does it start to look like?
Yeah, definitely continued after college. Definitely picked up too. I want to say, you know, right when I'm graduating, you know, things are, they're calming down like a little bit for about a stretch, you know, because I did start to recognize, like, this isn't, you know, it's not good. In college, I was able to walk out if I won, but that money would quickly go away. Even then, right? You know, it wasn't as quick as it was, you know, post-grad and, you know, in that COVID stretch, I call it. At that point in my life, I did recognize it. It just was not, it wasn't at the forefront of my mind as this, like, huge issue that I needed to control.
When did it become that huge issue for you?
Yeah, so I can still remember, man. I worked this job right out of college. A lot of people in my family were the same way. You know, you try to just get that job right out of college, so you have a paycheck coming in, and, you know, you're able to pay your bills and, you know, save for, you know, a car, a place of your own, things like that. And I kept having these thoughts of, like, I'm not doing what I should be doing. I'm not making enough money. I'm not happy at my job. And for some reason, whether it's, like, the bright lights, you know, all the fantasization, I just butchered that, but that's okay, of the gambling world, I really felt like it could be this, like, additional income. And that's when it took off, because then I would, you know, for months, you know, probably even over a year plus, my paycheck would hit my bank account, I would go to the ATM, and I'd be at the casino for hours, and when I ran out, it would be the next day, and I would withdraw. That was happening for so long, and I just realized, like, this is not something that can maintain, you know? Like, eventually, it's gonna catch up to me.
Can we talk about something real for a minute? If your gambling has started to feel less like fun and more like stress, Trust me, you're not alone. Millions of us know what it's like to say, just one more bet, or feel that urge that's really difficult to explain. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Evive, a sponsor of today's video. Think of it as having a recovery companion right in your pocket, someone who actually understands what you're going through. No lectures, no pressure, just practical tools and genuine support when those challenging moments hit. Download Evive now and you'll get guaranteed free access through 2026. Not a trial or a limited version, but the complete platform, completely free. Because Evive believes that everyone deserves access to support that works for them. Download Evive today and take the first step towards changing your relationship to gambling. Evive is only available in select countries. For someone that doesn't have a gambling problem, kind of walk us through the mindset that you had when you're like, okay, this is a way to possibly get income, and then you're consistently finding yourself with less money. What motivates you to keep going?
Like, whenever I would see someone in a casino win a big jackpot, you know, I was never playing games like that, where we're talking like life-changing amount of money for anybody. And I think for me, I always just thought, I'm a couple hands away from that being me. You know, I'm a couple hands away from being able to take a couple months and find that job that is going to make me happier and make me more money. But that was the part of me that just wanted to gamble. It's not the part of me that's able to accept what it truly was.
It's interesting, though, that you phrase it like that, because so many times people will say, I wanted to get that big win so that I didn't have to worry about money anymore. You wanted the win to buy yourself time to find a more ideal situation, which plausibly sounds like a better reasoning than just wanting to get rich and retire. But even then, it's like you're just playing a game where you're not supposed to come out on top. But I can see why that in itself would keep you around longer than the dream of hitting a jackpot that would retire you. Do you feel that way? Like, you were trying to set a reasonable goal in your head, even though, you know, it wasn't.
Yeah, you know what, it's funny, like, I never had like reasonable goals when it came to gambling, but I think the only reason, and this is going to sound so silly, but the only reason that I knew it was never going to be like, I'm going to get the big win and retire, is how many times have we seen news articles or you know, nowadays, like TikTok videos or YouTube videos about, you know, so-and-so who won the Mega Millions, but, you know, for whatever reason, or whatever addiction they fell into, you know, all the money's gone, or, you know, they've really took a turn for the worse, unfortunately. So, and I also just know that, like, it's not sustainable. Like, life, even as a normal person, not being an addict, is expensive as anything. So it's not sustainable for a lifetime.
Do you feel like it got worse once you started gambling online?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I know that is not a uncommon story at all. But this, the way that, and I'm, you know, I'm not going to speak on the other apps and websites and everything, but the idea personally for me of using like credit and not like, not on a credit card, not on a debit card, not linked to any bank account, this idea of just fake money, being financially illiterate, which I already was and am, like, then to take it a step further with that, I mean, that was really where it just absolutely would go crazy. Like, the ebbs and flows, the highs and lows were just ridiculous.
Are you saying that bookie was giving you credit to play casino games?
Yeah, it would be essentially like you have credit for the week of like X amount, and if, you know, you're down to that amount and you lose it, that's your max, and then you have to pay it in order to get back to zero. And I know there's a couple other ones out there too. There were some that had online casino games within the website where you could place bets on sports games as well.
I've actually never heard of this. And I've been recording these for a while now, and I think yours, when it goes out, it's going to be like the 45th or 46th podcast episode. And I've never heard of credit being offered by the site for casino games. We all know that bookies give credit for sports, but did that make you feel like you were playing with like fake game money. Like I just can't imagine how that feels.
Yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't, to be clear, it wasn't like from the site. It was like, well, I guess it was through the site, but I got the account from a bookie and right. then that's how I got the credit. But, it absolutely felt like fake money, Rob. I mean, I was just, you know, be at home and be like, okay, it's Tuesday. You know, I'll get back. It'll be fine. You know, it's okay. It's just Tuesday. Tomorrow or even tonight, I'll get it back. And it didn't feel like a real loss until I hit that ending point of like, well, now you can't increase the credit or anything. You know, you got to pay up. It really did not feel real at all.
I think I'll go on like on record here and say that that is the most predatory thing I've ever heard of as it relates to gambling. I've never seen that. I am like kind of at a loss for words. That's just even when you look at like bookie systems with sports betting.
Yeah,
it's predatory and there's like you're supposed to lose, but it happens at a certain pace. When it comes mm-hmm. to casino games, table games, slot machines, they move rapidly. And if you're looking at a credit system where you have a finite limit, you're going to basically hit that limit every time. It's like I just don't even understand how he was offering that. It's insane. But, you know, getting to this point then, what makes you decide sure. that this is something that you want to stop doing? Is it still going with the bookie? It reaches its climax mm-hmm. there? Or is the gambling in a different format by the time you want to leave it behind?
So I can still remember one of my best friends was the first one to get married of our close friend group. And of all places, he has his bachelor party in Vegas. You know, it was either like in July or August, super hot, getting off the plane. And even the non-gamblers, we all rush over to the roulette table. We do one spin and then we check into the hotel. That first night, it was like Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa wrapped into one, because not only is it the active gambler's dream world, literally the dream capital of the world for a gambler, it was impossible. That night was so ridiculous that they were checking to see if I was counting cards, if I had spotters around the casino. There is no world where some of the things that happened that night should have ever happened the way they did. But yet I thought it can happen again. You know, I can get this feeling again, that feeling of like, oh, I want this feeling more. That's what it is with us with gambling. Money's just our tool to get that feeling.
After that night in Vegas, how many years did you continue chasing after that before you finally left it behind?
To answer your question, you know, come back home. I don't have anything to show for. And
you lost it all the next night?
Not the next night, but throughout the time we were there. Yeah. It was a 4 or 5 day trip. And, you know, by the end, I was like, I need to figure out how to get money back, because I was already in a rough place financially leaving for that trip. And I still thought that gambling was the answer when it very obviously wasn't. And I believe it would have been another year before I really was getting told quite a bit to stop. And like, you are lying about something, but you're not telling anyone in your life what it is.
What did you feel when people were telling you that you had a problem? Did you feel like there was any truth to it, or did you kind of dismiss it when they would say it?
Initially, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't have a problem. You know, like, you guys like to go out and, you know, have 4 or 5 beers, which, you know, depending on who you are, may not be that much. And I was like, I just like to gamble. The person that I was becoming, the way I would act, the things that I was doing, I really started to not recognize at all. I did start to believe it after a bit. I was just running from it. And I think there's definitely a difference there.
Struggling with an addiction can make you feel like you're all alone. But you don't have to do this by yourself. At Bright Choice Recovery, a family-owned and operated treatment center in New Jersey, we're here for you, and we are dedicated to helping you break free from addiction and reclaim your life. Whether you're struggling with substances or a gambling addiction, this is the spot for you. With personalized care, real support, and a team that truly understands, we're here to walk with you on this journey to recovery. Because recovery is possible, and it all starts with the right choice. Check us out today, because your future is worth fighting for. And what was the point that you finally said, okay, I'm going to try to leave this behind?
I remember it was January of 2022. You know, I told my parents, I was, you know, I was like, I'm done. You know, I got this. I'm stopping. That was just another lie. Like I had went, and I really don't sports bet when I'm gambling. You know, I'm more of a table game player, but I was going and placing crazy sports prop bets, just hoping that something would hit and I'd be able to have some semblance of money. And my parents figured out where I was, and they knew that they weren't getting through to me. And when I had that talk with my friends, that's when it really like clicked. And they were like, look, we're here to support you. Like, we're not angry at you, but there has to be a change. And, you know, there were a few other things too, that I am not, it's going to take a long time for me to accept, things that I'm only comfortable sharing with, you know, a few people, some things I may never share, right? That call was what finally made me realize, like, I've got to do this. Like, I just need to, it took some time for me, you know, like, it was a month or so before I really started recovery. Even in that month of February of 2022, I was like, yeah, I'm going to meetings, and I would just drive and take myself out to dinner or something, you know, because I still didn't want to face the music.
And so what you did to get help was start to go to meetings and be more open about the things you were experiencing?
Yeah, yeah. And let me tell you, it is, it's a big part of my life now. It's more than just, you know, recovery too. You know, I have people that I can go to, that I look at as friends, mentors, family, and these relationships and friendships have been, you know, some of the most important things in my life in these last almost 3 years of recovery, and, you know, coming up on 2.5 of recovery without the bet.
Congratulations on that time once again. And, you know, talking about those relationships that you've built in your meetings, in the beginning of this conversation that we brought up, hope was because unfortunately one of those relationships did come to an end. I wanted to give you the space to share a little bit about that experience and, you know, how maybe it impacted your group.
Yeah, I had someone in my recovery who I, you know, was very close to, who was struggling quite a bit. You know, we were in really different points in life, but just someone that, you know, I understood everything he was talking about, every struggle he would call about, text about. I was like, I get it, you know, I really do. The one common through line for months was this idea that he had that things never get better. That was the only thing that I said to him. I was like, I couldn't disagree more. Because I've seen people turn their life around from all sorts of different lows that life can bring. Turn their life around and things are phenomenal. I brought up the idea and the word of hope because, you know, this person's the second person actually that I've lost to suicide in GA. And it's demoralizing. It's also this feeling of, you know, there's only so much you can do, especially when someone's active back in it. I know there is someone out there listening to this, coming home, slamming the steering wheel like I used to, saying, why did I do this again? Why did I do this again? Your life can get better tonight. Go on a phone meeting, go on a Zoom meeting, reach out to someone you love, and tell them that you need help. even if it's not from meetings. There's always, always hope. It doesn't matter how bad this gets, and it can keep getting worse. You know, that's the other thing too. So
yeah. For those that don't know, 1 in 5 people that have a gambling addiction will attempt or successfully commit suicide as a direct result of their addiction, which should raise alarm bells for this being a massive public health crisis, but we're not there yet, Josh. And that's why we're having conversations like this. So one thing that you had mentioned throughout your story was this idea of remembering the times that you won big, these insane experiences, and wanting to replicate them, and that leading to years and years of pain. What would you say to someone who's watching this video who just had that big win?
If you just hit that big win, if you get a savings account that you have set up as a joint account where someone you trust has to be there to withdraw money. I have one of those, and thankfully I still, you know, have it. I wish I had it at some of those wins to responsibly save and be able to handle things in a better way. Because if you don't, you are going, even if you win, if you lose, this question and idea, some of my friends and I talk about this a lot. The then what? If you're an active gambler or if you're in recovery and you're thinking about it, right? You win, okay, then what? It's not enough for all of us that are active in it, that were active in it. When we think about gambling, there's not a dollar amount where we're going to say, you know what? I'm done. I'll walk away. We just don't. We're not wired that way. We're not. And if you don't believe that, then if you really have that big win, walk out. Yeah. Walk out right after it happens and don't come back.
Easier said than done. That's why we're here.
Exactly.
I think the one last thing I wanted to ask you is, how has your life improved since you've entered recovery from gambling?
Oh, man. You know, I think I have a much healthier way of looking at life on life's terms. Rainy days still happen. Bad things in life still happen. Everybody has highs. Everybody has lows. But I'm able to deal with the highs and lows of life much better when I'm in recovery, when I want to be a better person. It's not just the not gambling anymore. It's the working recovery and working to be that better person. The not gambling has just eased my mind. It's helped a lot. And granted, I'm still not financially responsible. I'm still working on that. But I think another huge difference for me being in recovery now, Rob, is that I'm able to admit to my faults much easier. Much, much easier. It's just about working on them.
Well, we all have stuff to work on, myself included, like the fact that I'm probably going to go work for 5 more hours after we hang this call up at 8 o'clock at night. But thank you, Josh, for joining today. And to anyone that's in the audience that wants to hear another testimonial of someone who's in recovery from a gambling addiction, check out this video and let's keep getting better together one day at a time.